This is Radio Hangar. I'm Taildragger. Pull up a chair because tonight I want to tell you about one of the dirtiest tricks ever played on general aviation. And it happened not in some backroom deal overseas, but right in the middle of Chicago, Illinois, in the dead of night. The date was March 30th, 2003, a Sunday night. Most of the city was asleep, but if you had been standing on the shore of Lake Michigan, just south of the Loop, you would have heard something that did not belong: heavy diesel engines, the grinding of steel on concrete, and if you had looked out toward Merrill C. Meigs Field, the little lakefront airport that had served Chicago since 1948, you would have seen bulldozers, a whole column of them, carving giant X-shaped gashes into runway 18/36 under the cover of darkness. No public hearing, no vote, no warning. Mayor Richard M. Daley simply sent the machines in and tore it apart. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every milestone in flight. First solo private pilot instrument rating all the way up. If you've earned it, they've got a coin for it. Every coin tells a story. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. Now, to understand why this story still makes pilots' blood boil more than 20 years later, you have to understand what Meigs Field was. It was not O'Hare, it was not Midway. It was a single runway, 3,300 feet of asphalt, sitting on a narrow spit of land called Northerly Island, right on the lakefront, with the Chicago skyline filling your windshield on departure. Runway 18/36, you took off to the south over the water, or you landed to the north with a Sears Tower, which is what we still call it, looming off your left wing. There was no other airport like it in America, maybe no other airport like it in the world. It opened in 1948, named after a Chicago publisher and aviation booster who had pushed hard for the city to embrace flight. For decades, it was the busiest single-strip airport in the country. Business travelers flew in from all over the Midwest to be downtown in 10 minutes instead of fighting traffic from O'Hare for an hour. Meigs handled around 30,000 operations a year in its prime. Cessnas, Pipers, Beechcraft, the occasional King Air. A parade of general aviation right in the shadow of downtown. But it was more than just convenient. Meigs was a symbol. It told the world that a great American city valued aviation enough to keep a runway on its most valuable real estate, lakefront property in Chicago. You cannot overstate what that land was worth. And yet for more than 50 years, the city said yes, this is important enough to keep. Now here's where it gets interesting. Mayor Daley had wanted that land for years. He talked about turning Northerly Island into a park. And look, parks are fine, nobody is against parks. But there was a lease agreement. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, had authority over the airport. The state of Illinois had negotiated to keep it open. Every time Daley pushed to close Meigs, the state legislature pushed back, the pilots pushed back, the aviation community pushed back. There were legal agreements, federal obligations, the whole framework that is supposed to protect public use airports from exactly this kind of thing. So Daley did what politicians do when the rules do not go their way. He went around them. That Sunday night, his crew showed up with no notice. They bulldozed the runway in the dark. They carved those big X marks so no airplane could land. And they did it while 16 aircraft were still tied down on the ramp. 16 airplanes stranded, because there was no longer a usable runway to fly them out on. The owners woke up Monday morning to find their airplanes trapped on an island with no way to leave. Think about that for a second. Imagine walking out to your hangar on a Monday morning and discovering that someone had destroyed the runway overnight. Your airplane is sitting right there, 50 feet away, and it might as well be on the moon.
The FAA was furious. They had not been notified. You cannot just close a public use airport without going through the federal process. There are rules about this. There is a procedure. You file with the FAA, you give notice, you allow public comment. Daley skipped all of it. Every single step. The FAA ended up fining the city $33,000, which for a city the size of Chicago is pocket change. It was a parking ticket for destroying an airport. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, AOPA, called it an unprecedented act of municipal vandalism, and they were right. This was not a policy disagreement. This was a man with bulldozers deciding that the democratic process moved too slowly for his taste, and here is the detail that really sticks with me. The timing. That Sunday night was not random. Congress was in recess. The state legislature was not in session. Daley waited for the exact moment when nobody who could stop him was paying attention, and then he moved fast. By the time anyone woke up on Monday, it was already done. You cannot unbulldoze a runway. Now the 16 stranded airplanes eventually got out. The city had to create a temporary taxiway, basically a narrow path to a short usable section, so pilots could fly their airplanes to other airports,
Imagine making a short field takeoff on a surface that was never designed for the purpose, with construction debris on either side, because the mayor of your city decided your airport did not deserve to exist anymore. Some of those pilots had to wait weeks. The legal battles dragged on. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, who had his own problems down the road, tried to intervene. Lawsuits were filed. The FAA investigated, but in the end, what was done was done. The runway was destroyed. The airport was gone. And by 2005, Northerly Island started its conversion into a park and concert venue.
And that park is fine. People enjoy it. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that a park on the lakefront of Chicago is a bad thing, but the way it happened, that is what burns. Because it set a precedent. It told every city council and every mayor in the country that if you want to close a general aviation airport, you can just do it. Take the fine, pay the penalty, move on. The system that was supposed to protect those airports turned out to have no teeth. And the pilots who used MAIGs, they scattered. Some went to DuPage, some went to Aurora, some went to Waukegan. But they all lost something that cannot be replaced. That short final over the lake, the skyline sliding past your canopy, the feeling of landing an airplane right in the heart of a world-class city and being downtown before your engine cooled. That is gone forever. Back when Avigiz was cheap and airspace was free, every big city in America had airports like MAIGs. Not that close to downtown, maybe, but close. And one by one they have been disappearing. Santa Monica. Teterboro is under constant threat. Even Midway gets the question every few years. The land is too valuable, the neighbors complain about the noise, and the politicians see tax revenue where we see runways. MAIGs was just the most dramatic example. The most brazen. I will tell you what I think about when I think about MAIGs Field. I think about a Cessna 172 on a summer evening. 1990-something, making the turn over Lake Michigan to line up on runway 36. The sun is going down behind the city. The buildings are lit up gold and orange. You are descending through 1,000 feet with the Hancock building off your right wing and the lake stretching out to the east, like it goes on forever. The VASI lights are showing 2 reds and 2 whites and you're on the money. You cross the threshold, the tires chirp, and you are in Chicago, right there. Not 45 minutes away in a rental car, right there. That was MAIGs Field, and some guy with a grudge and a set of bulldozers took it away in the middle of the night.
You know, for pilots of a certain generation, MAIGs lives on in one unexpected place. Microsoft Flight Simulator. For years, the default startup airport in the sim was MAIGs Field. Runway 18, Chicago skyline. That was the first thing millions of virtual pilots ever saw. When Microsoft updated the sim after the real MAIGs was destroyed, they quietly changed the default airport. Even the sim knew it was gone. The story of MAIGs is one I have been telling at Fly-In Breakfasts for 20 years now, and it never stops getting a reaction. Because every pilot understands what was lost, not just a runway, not just convenience, but the idea that a city could look at a piece of land next to the water and say, "This is for airplanes," and mean it. A lot of what I shared tonight comes from AOPA's extensive coverage over the years, some excellent reporting in the Chicago Tribune at the time, and the FAA's own records on the closure. You can find more at RadioHangar.com. Fly safe out there. And if your city still has a little airport close to downtown, maybe take a friend there sometime and buy a hamburger. You never know how long it will last.